Good afternoon, gentlemen. Welcome to the Second Court of Appeals. Your panel this afternoon is seated to my left, Justice Ann Gardner, and to my right, Justice Leanne Dofno. And I'm Lee Gabriel, and we only have one case set for oral argument this afternoon. If the clerk will call the case.
May it please the court. Good afternoon. Joe Spence. I'm here for the appellants, Mr. Scott Perdue and Ron Becker. My co-counsel today is Chris Leister. Mr. Becker and Mr. Perdue own lots in Borlingfield Estates. Borlingfield Estates is what's known as a fly-in residential community. Basically, people can fly their airplanes to their homes. They hangar them out there. The streets often act as taxiways for the aircraft. The Borlingfield Estates is governed by a document which is central to this appeal, known as the Declaration of Covenants, Conditions, and Restrictions. And I believe all the parties and the attorneys refer to that shorthand as the CCRs. There's a homeowners association out there. It's governed by a board. The appellee, BFE Development Corp., was the developer of this Borlingfield Estates, owns 16 lots currently. The other appellee, Richard Borland, is essentially the owner and operator of Borlingfield Development Corp. BFE Development Corp. also has just a DBA operating as Borlingfield Estates Water Company. And what they do is provide water to the residents. They provide water elsewhere, but including Borlingfield Estates. They do not, the parties all agree that BFE Water Company does not have an exclusive right to provide water to the residents of Borlingfield Estates. My clients became dissatisfied with the water out there, and they wanted to drill their own water well on their lot. The CCRs, Section 9.26, has a restriction that restricts the drilling of water wells. So what my clients did, pursuant to Article 10D of the CCRs, which grants the board very broad variance powers, my clients filed what's known as an application for variance. They dotted all their I's, crossed all their T's, and they requested a variance from 9.26 restriction that they could drill a water well on their lot. The record has copies of the minutes of the various meetings, including up into the July 2013 meeting where there was a vote and the variances were granted. I might add that there were 11 other lot owners out there besides Mr. Becker and Mr. Perdue who sought a variance and were granted a variance, 13 total. My clients...
How many levels are there in seeking a variance out there?
Really?
You know what I'm talking about. It has to go to a board of adjustment or something.
Doesn't really here. It simply has to be an application that goes directly to the board. 10D actually refers to the committee, but there's other provisions that substitute in variance situations the board for the committee.
Okay.
So it literally is an application to the board.
One step. Level.
Okay. Yes.
Have any of these other people drilled water wells?
They have not, Your Honor. And ironically, they also are not subject to the injunction below. But my clients are the only two who drilled, and they did that in late October, early November of 2013. And shortly on the heels of that, BFE Development Corp. and Mr. Borland brought suit. And they assert two causes of action, a breach of contract and a declaratory judgment. And those are relevant based on the probable right of relief standard for temporary injunction, because that is tied to what causes of action are actually pled. Their breach of contract claim, they say the homeowners association breached the CCRs by granting a variance that they weren't authorized to grant, and they say Mr. Becker and Mr. Perdue breached the CCRs by drilling a water well in violation of the restriction on it in 9.26. Their declaratory judgment cause of action really is just an overlay of their breach cause of action, where they sort of allege the same thing. Please declare that the board didn't have authority to do this, and Mr. Becker and Purdue didn't have the authority to drill. So the appellees sought a temporary injunction. Judge Quisenberry granted it. And so this is an appeal, accelerated appeal, from interlocutory order granting a temporary injunction. And I would say that our principal challenge goes to the required element for anyone to obtain a temporary injunction of they have to show, the plaintiffs in this case, appellees, had to show what we call a probable right to relief. Sometimes it's referred to as a probable right of recovery, a likelihood of success on the merits. I think the law denotes various labels for it. But what that means is they had to bring forth some evidence or show a probable right of recovery on the causes of action they pled. And our position is fairly simple. It's that both of the causes of action pled here turn on the question of whether the board had the authority under Article 10D to grant a variance from the water well restriction. And that is a question of law. It's an interpretation of the CC&Rs, and especially Article 10D. And even though it's an abuse of discretion standard in reviewing the grant of a temporary injunction, really the standard here drills down to a de novo review of a legal interpretation of Article 10D by the trial judge. Even the appellees agree with that on page, I believe it's page 14 of their brief. They state that the review of the interpretation of the provisions of the CC&R is de novo. And that stands to reason, because one standard for abuse of discretion is when the court fails to analyze and apply the law correctly. And so really the trial court had before it this legal duty to interpret what Article 10D means. Our position is that the judge misinterpreted it. It does in fact provide for the board permit the board to grant a variance from the water well restriction, and because of that, there can be no likelihood of success or probable right of relief for the plaintiffs in this case. And with that, let me add, I don't think anybody disputes what article or paragraph 9.26 of the CCR says. It is the restriction on drilling a water well. The dispute came because when you then turn to Article 10D, this provision that grants the board variance power, there's a question here, at least I thought in the appellee's mind, of what it means. I think applying standard rules of contract construction, including giving words their ordinary meaning, harmonizing the entire provision, trying to discern the intent of the parties. Also, I might add, in this court discussed in Dygard, which we cite in our brief, that there's a common law construction rule that restrictive covenants are to be resolved in favor of free and unrestricted use of the property. And any ambiguity is to be construed against the person seeking to enforce the restrictive covenant. And this court in Dygard emphasized that in the face of a claim that there's a provision in the property code, it's 202.003, which is a statutory rule of construction that says restrictive covenants are to be given the liberal interpretation or construction. And this court said they saw no conflict with that provision in the property code, and thus they defaulted back to the common law rule that when you're interpreting these types of provisions, you're to lean toward and resolve toward free and unrestricted use of the land. And so we believe that when you look at Article 10D in light of those rules of contract construction, it says that the board may permit an owner to construct, erect, or install improvements that are in variance from restrictions in the CC&Rs.
What's in Article 10 is not really a restrictive covenant, though, is it? What's in Article 9 is a restrictive covenant, but Article 10 is not. So is it your argument that we're to construe that as well somehow in favor of...
Yeah, and
I
could not find a case that dealt directly with that, and I do agree with you that the restrictive covenant, at least in the narrowest sense here, is 9.26, which restricts the drilling of water wells. But I think the answer to that question would be, if you have an attendant or ancillary procedural device contained within the same CCRs, in this case 10D, that allows a board to grant a variance from a restriction. So in a way, you're still dealing with how far is this restriction going to go? Are we going to relieve this particular owner of the restriction? I think in those situations, it would make common sense to apply the same sort of construction rules, because, or at least the rule, the common law rule from Dygard, because what you are doing is you are interpreting that power to allow, in my estimation, the greatest use and least restriction, or the least amount of restriction on the property.
But we're also supposed to consider the intent of the parties, correct? When
yes.
they entered into the agreement. And Article 10 is entitled Architectural Controls. Don't you think that that was a big factor in Judge Quisenberry's decision?
I think Judge Quisenberry did consider that. I do think, and I believe it's Article 9.12, we cited this in our reply brief, that there's actually a provision in the CCRs which says that the labels and titles given to the articles shall have no impact on the meaning of the provisions. And so I think that's the first answer to the question, that there's sort of this self-effectuating, if you will, provision in the CCRs which precludes, and in fact, let me just find that. Again, it's in our reply brief, but I believe it's 9.12. And that's not right. It's 12. I apologize. It's 12.08. The headings contained in this declaration are for reference purposes only and shall not in any way affect the meaning or interpretation of this declaration. But even if we look to that, I do agree with you. Yes, Article 10 is entitled Architectural Control. And there is a provision at the end, a sentence at the end of 10D, which says that any variance that is granted, it says, shall be in basic conformity with and shall blend effectively with the general architectural style and design of Borland Field Estates. And so I think I would be foolish not to at least concede that, yes, there is some architectural concern that remains when a variance is granted. I don't think that last sentence of 10D eviscerates the power of the board. I think the use of the word, however, is very much like a proviso, that in other words, if a variance is granted, at least you must ensure that these architectural concerns are sort of dealt with. And I would add in this case that the variance application of both Mr. Becker and Mr. Perdue dealt with that very issue. The variances are found at Appendix Tab 3 and 4 of our brief. And if you look at each of the applications, not only was there a request for a variance from Article 9.26, the restriction on drilling water wells, but we also sought and were granted variances from 9.20, which dealt with how would the well house that goes around this little pump look. How would that structure look, and would it blend with the, and be in conformity with the architecture within the community? 9.10 was also mentioned in the variance, 9.10 from the CCRs. That deals with temporary structures because we were going to have to bring structures, equipment out to drill the well. You can only have them out there for 120 days. That wasn't going to be a problem. It took 2 or 3 days. But we wanted to make sure we complied with that when we drilled the well. 9.05 is mentioned in the variance. It dealt with the roof if there was going to be a well house. 9.16 was also mentioned in the application, which dealt with the exterior surface of the well house. So I think the answer to that is that the general variance authority in this case says that the board may permit an owner to construct, erect, or install an improvement in variance from the declarations, which would include 9.26. Below, my opponents argued that, well, a water well really isn't an improvement to real property. It's just an action, and somehow that's different. And honestly, I don't think that's an argument that has merit. I think a water well is an improvement to real property. I think Judge Quisenberry thought it was. And because it is, I think it falls squarely within Article 10D. And when that is the conclusion that the interpretation reached as a matter of law, that 10D, in fact, gave the board the authority to grant these variances, then the plaintiffs, as a matter of law, have no probable right of relief, and therefore the temporary injunction should be dissolved. Thank you.
I have a question.
Oh, please.
you were talking about the construction, either common law or under the property code, being in favor of free and unrestricted use. And it seems to me that while the trial court used the term use according to what was quoted in the brief, I mean, used the term action, that would you agree that this drilling and having a water well out there constitutes a use? And if so, a two-part question. If not, would the architectural controls constitute something that would be also governed by that rule of construction in favor of free and unrestricted use?
To answer the first question, I think somebody could make an argument, and I think the appellees even tried to focus more in their appellee's brief, get away from the action argument and say, oh, this is really just land use, because again, that's one of the words or two words used in the title of Article 9. I think somebody could try to make that argument, but under the rule of construction of let's give things their plain and ordinary meaning, I think the plain and ordinary meaning of land use typically means, or is it residential, commercial, agricultural? That's generally what land use means under in real estate jurisprudence. I would add that there are two provisions in the CCRs, 9.01, that talks about residential use, and 9.30, which restricts commercial use. So I think land use was dealt with there. As to your second question, as far as the architectural controls, I think is to the extent those are restrictions and what they require, you know, people to do architecturally, yeah, I think you would apply the same rules of construction.
And what about, one more question, what about when a variance is applied for Article 10D says the committee may,
yes,
from time to time, and does that not refer back to committee defined as the architectural control committee?
It does, and there's another provision, and I don't have it at my fingertips, and I can certainly on rebuttal provide it, but there's some provision in here, I can't remember which one it was, that in variant situations like this substitutes board for committee, and so that word committee under this procedure, because of the owners that were involved, it became the board's obligation and not the committee. It's in here, and I'll find it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Kaufman?
May it please the court. My name is Heath Kaufman, and I'm here today on behalf of BFE Development Corporation, doing business as BFE Water. And I'll start out by agreeing with my opposing counsel that the main issue, really the only issue in this case, is whether Article 10D of the CCNRs grants the HOA the power to issue variances in order to drill water wells. There is no dispute in this case that the CCNRs of the Borland Field Estates has a specific prohibition against the drilling of water wells. Article 9.26.
Excuse me, I have a question. I'm easily confused, so I'd like you to clear this up for me. You have a developer. Developer developed a residential community out at Borland Field. And they sold off the lots, but they also controlled the company that provided water to all these houses. And they still got 16 lots. So their claim for standing is as owners of the lots, because as developers, they'd already turned over the headaches of running the development to the homeowners association, right?
Well, Your Honor, there's two grounds for standing. As the owner of the lots, the developer has 16 lots remaining in there, and that would give them standing as a party to the CCNRs. The developer is also the declarant in the CCNRs and is therefore a party that way.
But the developer doesn't stay in control forever. Once the developer turns things over to the homeowners association, if the roads haven't been dedicated to, accepted by the county or whoever, it's the homeowners association that's responsible for maintaining the roads, not the developer. It's the homeowners association that's responsible for enforcing the covenants, not the developer. The developer pretty much bails once the lots are all sold, or once, as soon as they can turn it over to the homeowners association, they give up that expense of running the place. So what we're really looking at is somebody who's providing water wants to keep making money by providing water. Isn't that really what we're looking at? They're really concerned about losing that the market.
It's more than that, Your Honor, and the reason that is because of those 16 lots that you mentioned.
So once they divest themselves of the 16 lots, or suppose they have one lot, they still have this major concern over who's providing water to all the other houses?
As so long as they still own lots in there, they are parties to the CCNRs and therefore would have standing under the CCNRs.
But it's only as it's not as developers, it's not as the providers of water, it's only because they own the 16 lots, right?
Yes, Your Honor. They own the 16 lots, and therefore that's the basis for their standing.
So how does the water company, loss injure the owners of 16 lots?
The issue is the possible, and the testimony was very likely, failure of the water company. And if we own 16 lots out there and we don't have a viable water company out there that can supply water to those 16 lots, they're going to become virtually unmarketable. And that's the harm to BFE development directly, is the destruction of the water company and whether or not they're going to be able to supply water to potential buyers of the remaining lots.
But it's not a concern of the homeowners association.
It's a concern of homeowners.
Homeowners Association granted the variance, right?
That's correct. The Homeowners Association did grant the variances, although we had the variances were granted over the objections of several other homeowners, and at the temporary injunction hearing, we had two homeowners come and testify against the variances that were issued and against what the Homeowners Association had done in this case.
All right. Thank you. You've unconfused me.
Thank you, Your Honor. As I was saying, there's no dispute that the CCNRs of the Borland Field Estates prohibit the drilling of water wells. It's in Article 9.26, which is entitled Wells, and it states the drilling of water, oil, and gas wells or extracting minerals by any means from any portion of the property is prohibited. Thus, the issue becomes whether or not the appellant's variances to drill water wells, which were obtained under the threat of a lawsuit, and for the purpose of avoiding the TCEQ's water rate order, are valid. Article 10D states that they are not valid because Article 10D limits the HOA's variance power to improvements. The HOA does not have the power to issue drilling variances, which is what the HOA did in this case. It was an issue that's been taken up by Judge Quisenberry in the 415th District Court, who heard the facts and reviewed the documents at both a contested temporary restraining order hearing and a contested temporary injunction order hearing, and at both those hearings reached the same conclusion that Article 10D limited the HOA's variance power and did not give the HOA the power to issue these drilling variances in order to drill water wells. Because the HOA had no authority to grant these variances, BFE Water proved that it was entitled to a temporary injunction prohibiting these water wells. Now, the appellant's arguments to the contrary is largely this, is that Article 10D allows the HOA to grant a variance to any restriction of the CCNRs. That's what they state in their brief at pages 5 and 28. And that interpretation is just flat incorrect, Your Honors. The CCNRs, as I mentioned, only allows variances for improvements. It is a specific limitation on the power of the HOA. The HOA, however, did not give an improvement variance. They gave a drilling variance to Mr. Becker and Mr. Perdue. It was a variance from Article 9.26, and Article 9.26 is a prohibition on the drilling of wells and the extracting of minerals. There's nothing in Article 10D that permits the issuance of drilling variances. We know this because of the plain language of Article 10D. Article 10D says the HOA can grant variances to construct, erect, or install improvements, but it does not say that the HOA can grant a variance to drill a well or drill any other improvement. But that is what Mr. Becker and Mr. Perdue's variances said. It said that they had a variance from Article 9.26, and Article 9.26 is a prohibition against drilling wells.
Okay, now I'm confused again.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, the development company isn't complaining that the Homeowners Association or board or whatever you call it exceeded their authority.
Yes, Your Honor.
They're not anywhere in this lawsuit, are they, or are they?
The HOA? Yes. The HOA is a part of this lawsuit. They have an injunction against them from issuing further variances.
They just didn't
They did not appeal. That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
If the drafters had wanted to include the language on drilling variances, they certainly could have. The drafters knew there was a prohibition on drilling, but they intentionally left the word drilling out of Article 10D. The drafters never intended the HOA to have the power to issue drilling variances. Now, appellant's arguments that a water well is an improvement misses the point, because we're not talking about the general classification of a water well in the abstract. We're talking about Article 9.26's restriction on drilling a water well and whether or not that is Article 10D is broad enough to allow a variance to this particular specifically worded restriction. Article 10D says the HOA can grant a variance to construct, erect, or install improvements, but it doesn't say it can grant a variance to drill a water well or anything else. And it's the act of drilling that is prohibited by Article 9.26. Thus, Article 10D doesn't grant the HOA the power to issue drilling variances. And since the HOA had no power to issue those drilling variances, Mr. Becker and Mr. Perdue's water well variances are invalid, and the water wells are in violation of the restrictive covenants. And that, Your Honors, is all that BFE development was required to prove. And we know that because of the standard to establish the right to injunctive relief, which is set forth by this court in Griffin versus Pecan Plantation Owners Association, 667 Southwest 2nd, 626. In that case, the court affirmed an injunction against drilling water wells in violation of the restrictive covenants. And the court stated that the applicant for that injunctive relief was required to prove two elements. Number one, they had to show a distinct and substantial breach of the CC&Rs. And number two, that the residents bought their lots with actual or constructive knowledge of the restrictive covenants, although most other cases don't require that second element. That's what the record reflects in this case, that both those elements were met by BFE development, and that, Your Honor, should be the end of the court's analysis. Mr. Becker and Mr. Perdue argue in their brief that we were also required to prove no adequate remedy at law. There are two problems with this argument, however. There is no requirement that BFE development prove no adequate remedy at law. That extra element is inconsistent with this court's Pecan Plantation ruling. It's inconsistent with the El Paso Court of Appeals case of Ramsey versus Lewis, 874 Southwest 2nd, 320, which the El Paso Court of Appeals noted that no adequate remedy at law was not an element in these types of cases. And it's inconsistent with those cases cited on page 25 of BFE Development's brief, which state that proof of damages, that is proof of an adequate remedy at law, is not required in determining whether or not to enjoin a violation of a restrictive covenant. The second problem with Mr. Becker and Mr. Perdue's argument on this point is that BFE Development did prove that it had no adequate remedy at law. The testimony was that if Mr. Becker and Mr. Perdue and others drilled their own water wells, BFE Water would shut down, the residents would lose their fire hydrants, and the residents would lose water service to their homes. Under the standard of review, the court must draw inferences from this evidence that are most favorable to the court's findings. Thus, BFE Development proved no adequate remedy at law, and the mere statement that this case is about money does nothing to change that. Finally, it is worth noting that if the court affirms the temporary injunction order and prohibits Mr. Becker and Mr. Perdue's water wells, that decision would be in keeping with the rule of construction that courts should avoid when possible and proper a construction which is unreasonable, inequitable, and unjust, and oppressive. Excuse me. It's not unreasonable, inequitable, and oppressive to prohibit the water wells because Mr. Becker and Mr. Purtue have an option if they want to drill their own water wells. They can invoke CC&R Article 12.04, which allows them to amend the CC&Rs and eliminate the water well restriction with the consent of the rest of the owners. On the other hand, a decision that Article 10D allows variances for drilling water wells would be unreasonable, inequitable, and oppressive because it would result in a situation where the other residents are going to be forced to shoulder the burden of additional water costs or going to have to pay for their own wells because BFE Water is out of business. Contrary to what appellants have stated in their brief, this case is not about, the variance were not sought because of water quality issues. The appellants are the same individuals who have continually blocked BFE Water's attempts to raise its water rates, and it's our position that it's no coincidence that the appellants applied with the state for permits to drill their water wells a mere 2 days after the TCEQ overruled their objections and raise the water rates for the community. As this court has held two times before, or as the trial court has held two times before, Article 10D's variance power is limited to improvements. And what was given to Mr. Becker and Mr. Purdue by the HOA was not an improvement variance. It was a drilling variance. And because the HOA does not have the power to issue drilling variances, those variances are invalid. Mr. Becker and Mr. Purdue are in violation of Article 9.26's specific restriction on drilling water wells. Thus, BFE Water respectfully requests that the court affirm the trial court's temporary injunction order. Thank you. Yes, Your Honor.
Could you elaborate on why the drilling of the water wells is not an improvement, or the result of the drilling would not be an improvement?
Yes, Your Honor. It's because of the specific language of Article 9.26. Article 9.26 is a specific restriction on drilling. It's a restriction on drilling. And Article 10D, which is the variance power, says you can construct, erect, or install an improvement. It doesn't say you can drill an improvement. And that is what the variance is for. It was a variance for Article 9.26. And Article 9.26, is that restriction on drilling, the act of drilling.
I think that does not quite answer my question. How is the well, okay, let's get past the drilling. They have their wells. They've already been drilled. How is the existence of the wells not an improvement to the property that would enhance its value if they were to sell it and so forth?
Your Honor,
or maybe I'm answering my own question, but I don't mean to. I'm confused too.
Your Honor, I would say to the court this. The well itself in the abstract can be considered an improvement. That's not what is prohibited by the CC&Rs. What the CC&Rs prohibit is a specific prohibition on the drilling of the wells, and there is nothing in Article 10D that allows them to get past that act of drilling that is prohibited. The drafters knew that Article 10D stated. Or that Article 9.26 had that specific prohibition on drilling, and they didn't put anything in Article 10D, although they could have, that would allow them to get around this prohibition against drilling.
Okay, well, they've already drilled their wells, so what does a temporary injunction accomplish that is within the restriction on drilling since it's already been drilled? Have already been drilled. They would be using them, I suppose.
Yes, Your Honor.
Is that not prohibited?
It is prohibited because you can't have a well without drilling a well. That's the very essence of a well, is that you have to drill it and then extract the water and bring it back up to the surface. They were never supposed to be able to drill that well in the first place. They can't have the well now and use the well now, because they've already violated the restrictive covenants that prohibited the drilling.
What are y'all going to do, go dump concrete down the well?
The wells can be plugged, Your Honor.
Suppose the well had been there when they bought the land. Suppose it was the location of an old farmhouse and there had been a well there. Still have to be plugged? Because it was certainly drilled at some point.
It was certainly drilled at some point. Your Honor, I haven't really thought through that hypothetical because that's not the case with anyone out there yet. It's possible that the water wells. I just don't know the answer to that hypothetical, Your Honor. I haven't thought that one through yet.
No, thanks.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Spence?
Justice Gardner, picking up where I left off, that provision is on page 22 of the CCRs. It's Article 10, print little A. And it basically it states, any request for approval of variance made by or on behalf of a Class A member, which these parties were, must be considered and acted upon only by the board, under which circumstances the board will be acting as the committee. So that was the provision that allows the board to sort of be interchanged with the word committee under Article 10D. With regard to opposing counsel's argument about there's nothing in Article 10D that allows a drilling variance, this is, I think, maybe the third sort of new argument that's being made. Below it was, well, it wasn't a drilling variance issue, it was just an action. In their Abilene's brief, it became, well, this is really a land use situation. And now it's this concept of, well, all that 9.26 deals with and all we were concerned about is a drilling variance, just the concept of drilling. I would say a couple things to that. Number one, that certainly wasn't the tenor of their argument and proof they tried to put on below about damages. They weren't concerned merely about, oh, don't go out there and drill a hole in the ground. They were concerned about hooking it up and using it, because as Justice Dofano mentioned earlier, that was going to impact the bottom line for BFE Development Corp. They don't want people out there using water wells and getting their water from wells. So this sudden argument of, oh, we're just concerned about drilling, is really a newfound argument. But I'd also add, if that was really their concern, these variances were granted in July 1 of 2013. We didn't start drilling till late October or November of 2013, and it was only after we drilled that then they sought to enjoin. And I don't know what they're seeking to enjoin, as Justice Gardner asked. I mean, it makes no sense at that point. If drilling was their only concern, they would have enjoined us well before we ever tried to go out there and drill. And it simply wasn't their concern.
Cases where somebody built a fence or built an outbuilding, and it was only after the fence or outbuilding was actually constructed and completed, and then they had to go tear the thing down because they lost. What's the difference between that and this?
Well, in the general sense, maybe none, but in the specific sense of now claiming that their concern was simply drilling, I think it makes a big difference. In other words, if their argument now is, oh my gosh, we were only concerned about drilling because 9.26 is a drilling variance and 10D doesn't mention drilling variance, it makes no sense. But I would also add that Article 10D says the board can permit an owner to construct, erect, or install. I think those three words, giving their ordinary and common meaning, would include drilling a water well. I'm going to install a water well on my property. I mean, that to me, just common meaning, common sense, construct or erect, would mean I'm going to put a water well on my property, and that it's not, the 10D didn't have to mention, you know, construct, erect, install, or drill water well improvement. And so, anyway.
So you think that the board had the power to grant a variance to drill a well?
I think, yes. I'll add, there's a provision in the back end of these CC&Rs which allows someone to come in and challenge actions based on arbitrary and capricious activity, and to the extent you could establish that they did so and it was arbitrary and capricious to allow it. But yeah, I think so. I think so. Now, the last thing I'll add, we're not saying any restriction here. We're saying an improvement And then if you want to construct, erect, or install an improvement, it can be in variance from a restriction. So they bring up the example in their appellee's brief about discharging a gun. We're not claiming that restriction can be subject to a variance because discharging a gun isn't an improvement. So that's a distinction that they make really without a difference. So for those reasons, we'd request that the temporary injunction be dissolved. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your briefing and your arguments here today, and your case is submitted. And this being our only oral argument, court will be adjourned and you're excused. Thank you.